Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God upon which our sermon is based this morning is our first lesson appointed for this Sunday. We read in Genesis chapter 18, beginning at verse 20. Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham spoke up again, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is five less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of 5 people?" "If I find 45 there," he said, "I will not destroy it." Once again, he spoke to him, "What if only 40 are found there?" He said, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there?" He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." Abraham said, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?" He said, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there?" He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear friends of God, through Jesus Christ, offering petitions on behalf of our nation is a very important part of our prayers that we offer in public worship, not to mention our requests for our nation and for our leaders and for the church that must live in the midst of a godless society play in our private petitions to our God. As we look this morning at Abraham and his situation, we can relate to it because it is today our situation. We are living in the midst of a society filled with sexual immorality and idolatry, just as Abraham was, just as he and his family did at that time. Wouldn't it be nice if God would do for us what he did for his friend Abraham? The Lord, speaking in human terms, of course he knew exactly what was going on. He didn't really have to go down and look and check. But he's talking there about how he would use his angels to discover the truth of what was going on there. as Moses would write it down. But wouldn't it be nice if God would do for us like he did for Abraham? He told Abraham what he was going to do. He said, these people's sins have gotten so out of control in their unbelief, their sexual immorality and their idolatry just cries out for them to be destroyed. It just cries out for them to receive my judgment. And he told Abraham that that judgment is coming, and it's coming soon. You and I live today in a society that tolerates, validates, and encourages sexual immorality of the kind that was prevalent in the city called Sodom and Gomorrah, and the other cities in the plain there at the southern end of the Dead Sea. Unlike Abraham, however, God has not revealed to us when his judgment is going to come against the cities in which we live, as he told his friend Abraham. When Abraham heard the news that God was about to carry out his judgment, Abraham appealed to God on behalf of the church in those cities, on behalf of believers who lived in the midst of those cities. As we'll discover, those believers really were some of the members of Abraham's family. And as it turned out, their number was fewer than 10. Abraham asked the Lord's mercy to spare the believers when his judgment fell upon the city. Because what often can and does happen is that when judgment comes down, when God's judgment comes down, his church gets caught up in that judgment. When God puts the axe to the root of the tree that is bearing no fruit, sometimes the members of his family get caught up in that judgment. And so Abraham prayed that that would not happen. Abraham prayed that the Lord in his mercy would spare his believers when his judgment came against this unbelief and wickedness. In other words, we might say that Abraham expressed his faith in the Lord's mercy by going to the Lord in prayer, calling on that mercy. And that is what we do in prayer as well. It is important to express our faith in prayer. First of all, prayer is our oasis in the desert of sin. And secondly, the Lord hears our prayers for the sake of his mercy. Abraham and his family, including his nephew Lot, his wife, and children, were living in the middle of a desert of sexual immorality and idolatry. The men of the city of Sodom even attacked two angels who had taken the forms of men to visit Abraham and had tried to violently drag them out into the street to have sex with them. But they were spared from that happening. But after that happened, God then would send his judgment down on the city. But when Abraham now addressed God, it's significant that he addresses him as the Lord, that tetragrammaton, all capital letters, the covenant of mercy name for our God. So Abraham said, "You who have made a covenant of mercy with your people, Spare your people when this wrath and judgment falls against the unbelieving and godless society in which we live. God's good friend expressed his faith in prayer as he called on the name of the Lord. At each place where Abraham called on God's mercy, the Lord agreed to literally pardon the city. The English word says to spare the city, but it really meant to pardon the city. God said, if there are 10 believers in Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities, then I'm going to pardon the whole city from my judgment and not bring that judgment down upon them for the sake of the righteous. Do you see what God is doing here? Incredibly, God allowed Abraham and allows us to see into that tension that exists between God's judgment and God's mercy. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. His wrath and punishment and judgment comes down against unbelief. But our God is a merciful and loving God also. And in his mercy, he spares those who believe in him. With the very same act of judgment, God spares and does what's best for the church. Think of the flood. The very waters that destroyed the unbelievers in judgment were the waters that lifted the believers up above the judgment and saved them in God's mercy. And when Paul wrote to Titus, he said those waters symbolize baptism, as baptism lifts us up above God's judgment and carries us to heaven in his mercy. God will bring his wrath down on those who have hardened themselves in wickedness and unbelief. But at the same time, he will have mercy on those who believe in him. Abraham's prayer teaches us that prayer is an oasis in the midst of the desert of sin. We are to, like Abraham, pray boldly to our God. All of the readings today really emphasize that boldness, that confidence that we have to pray to God. A boldness that relies on his mercy to lift us up above his judgment as he has promised to do. You and I are to pray boldly to the Lord for ourselves in these wicked days and to pray for our fellow believers. We are surrounded by the same sexual immorality and idolatry that cries out for God's judgment as much as it did in Abraham's day. Abraham admitted both his boldness. He said, Lord, now that I've been bold to come to you in prayer, I'm going to come again. Even though I'm nothing but dust and ashes. Abraham also admitted his unworthiness for prayer. Abraham teaches us boldness in prayer and humbleness for prayer. As we express our faith, as we cry out to the Lord. You and I do not know our God's immediate intentions with the wicked and unbelieving society in which we live. But we do know and trust his mercy on behalf of his church. We rely on it. We know of his promise of wrath against unbelief, but we also know of his promise of deliverance. We fully expect both, and we accept both. We also fully expect the Lord hears our prayers for the sake of his mercy. The Lord heard Abraham's prayers, but there were not even 10 believers in those cities. And so after the men attacked the angels at Lot's house, God, through the angels, told Lot to take the members of his family and flee the coming destruction of the city. Sadly, Lot's wife loved the world, loved the things of the world, loved the life she was leaving more than God's word, and looked back in longing for those things, and God turned her into a literal pillar of salt. When Lot told his sons-in-law that God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, they laughed and didn't believe God's word. And Moses never mentions them or their wives as escaping the judgment. Only Lot and two of his other daughters, who believed what God said, escaped the destruction. God rained fire and brimstone down that burned up those cities as in a furnace. He destroyed them because of their unbelief. Because of unbelief that led to them hardening their hearts in sexual immorality and in the worship of false gods. The Lord hears our prayers for the sake of His mercy. You and I often pray for our nation. We pray for our church. We pray for those who are caught up in the midst of the godliness around us, and that God would spare us and our nation for their sake. And God has listened to those prayers, hasn't He? We continue to exist. We continue as a church to live in a country where we are free to worship God's word. We are living in a society where we are free to pray to our God. The Lord has heard our prayers for the sake of His mercy and allows us to continue to preach law and gospel in love to those very people who are caught up in those sins and in that idolatry. God has heard our prayers for the sake of His mercy, and America's time of grace continues for now and for as many days as God will grant it according to His will. And how long that will be, we do not know. But we do know that we will continue to pray for our nation and for this world. We will continue to pray for our safety and for the safety of our fellow believers. And we know that the Lord will continue properly to execute that tension between His judgment and His love. God, in His mercy and in His judgment, will continue to do all things for the sake of the good of His church. You and I are living in a time and in circumstances that seem to be approaching quickly the conditions that led to the destruction of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah there on the plain at the south end of the Dead Sea. What can we do about it? Well, we can sit and wring our hands in fear and frustration. We can sit in self-righteousness and thank God that we're not like everybody else. But then we remember we are like everybody else. Like Abraham, we too are nothing but dust and ashes. Our sins are no less repugnant to God than anyone's sins. Our sins go up as a stench in God's nostrils no less than anyone else's sins. As we repent of those sins as we cling to the forgiveness that Jesus earned for us on the cross, we know that we have that mercy of God and that forgiveness of our sins. You and I have that righteousness of Christ through faith that makes us God's friends, like Abraham, and that keeps us safe in the day of judgment. Pray for safety and for deliverance and acceptance. Pray and use the means of grace to strengthen your faith so that when the day comes and God's judgment and God's mercy combine in His divine judgment against our country because of its wickedness and its idolatry, so that, like Lot and Abraham, we will be delivered. Listening to God's word, we will be spared from that judgment. And finally, isn't that what's going to take place on the last day? On the last day, God's judgment and God's mercy are going to meet. And they're going to be pronounced over all humanity. God's judgment against those who rejected His Son as their Savior, and His mercy over all those who believed in Jesus and are saved. It is in that mercy, it is in that righteousness of Christ that you and I will be able to stand midst flaming worlds, we sing in the hymn. When the fire and brimstone that rained down to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah will rain down to destroy this world and this universe in the final act of God's judgment. Even as in His mercy, He spares and protects and saves all those who believe in Him. You know, like Abraham, we're sinners. Ashes and dust. It's interesting that before God told Abraham what He was going to do and listened to Abraham's pleas for mercy, God told Abraham why He was going to tell him what He was going to do. And He said, the reason, Abraham, I'm going to do, or the reason I'm telling you, is that you are going to be a great and powerful nation. And in you, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And I will direct your household and your children to do what is right. And I will do all of this to bring about what I have promised. And that is the Savior. Today, God has told you, and the Lord has told me, has revealed what He is going to do on Judgment Day. And the reason He's told us is because He has made us a great and powerful nation, the church. Because He has called us and chosen us out of the world to be His own. He will bless us and our households and lead us to do what is right. He will do all of those things for the sake of His promise to us in our Savior Jesus. And so, it's very important, isn't it? It's important to express our faith in prayer. Because prayer is our oasis in the desert of sin. And the Lord will hear our prayers for the sake of His mercy. Amen.